Be merciful to me, my God, for my enemies are the hot pursuit. All days long they press their attack. My advisors pursued me all day long in their pride. Many are attacking me. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. In God's true world, I praise, in God I trust, and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? This is the word of the Lord.
So I invite Mabel Lowe to come forward. She is the focus scripture for this Sunday. And I apologize. I think it's one of those weird Sundays where we've had extra traffic. We've had a missing key for next door for the Sunday school class. And I forgot my sermon PowerPoint. So bear with us. But I invite Mabel to come forward.
So Mabel submitted Psalm 56, verse 3, as her favorite or important scripture passage. And Psalm 56, verse 3 is, "When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you." And I wanted to ask Mabel just to first share why this is a favorite passage of yours.
Okay, well, first, I discovered this passage only at the beginning of this year, because I always have trusted God, but I did not know such a scripture where, you know, the words were written like, "If I'm afraid, I trust in you." So anyway, I found it in the upper room the beginning of this year.
Oh yeah, and it was really fun because Mabel said that, you know, throughout her life she's had different experiences where she's had, you know, times where she's been afraid, whether it's physically afraid or afraid of the unknown, and she's always put her trust in God. So it was kind of neat for her to share that aha moment when she was reading the upper room and saw right there in print the passage from Psalms. And one of the fun sharing she did about at a time that she's just trusted in God, even though she didn't know she was using this passage, was when you were 5 or 6 and going to church. Her parents let her walk to church by herself. That's pretty great. So maybe you could share about that experience.
Well, I had two older brothers who went to church, but I think they were too embarrassed, maybe what I wore or whatever. So they always came later and sat at the back of the church. But anyway, this particular day, I had to run down the gravel road to church. And then it took me about 5 minutes. And so when I got to make a left turn, there were turkeys at this house, and they were chasing me. So I ran on and I went on to church. And so when I came home, I told my parents, and I think someone was at our house at the time, and they said, "Oh, Mabel, just don't wear red." So I said, okay. So the next Sunday, I was sort of skeptical about going, but my mother said, "You have to go to church." So, okay, so I went and I walked, and I walked as far as I could before I made the left turn. And then, of course, I didn't wear red that day. And the turkeys were in the backyard eating their food.
You were safe.
I was safe.
She was safe. So even as a young 5 or 6-year-old, you were already kind of thinking theologically or trusting that God would protect you from those wild turkeys. And Mabel did grow up in a small town, you know, gravel roads and walkable to church, a community church nearby, which is wonderful. And then you shared later an experience of as an adult after college, as you had this experience living in Arkansas and then coming to California and also needing to trust in God to see you through that journey. So maybe you could share about that as well.
Okay, I lived in eastern Arkansas in a town less than 200. Okay, so I taught school for 2 years, and then my father said, "Mabel, you need to get out of here." I said, okay, so I decided to obey my father, and so I applied for a job here in Los Angeles area, and so they said, okay, you can come for an interview. So I came, but my parents were worried about my riding on the plane, so they said, "You have to take the bus." So I took the bus, and I rode on the trailway bus for 2 days from eastern Arkansas to Los Angeles.
When you interviewed for the job, what happened?
Oh, I interviewed for the job, and I just talked to the person who interviewed me, the public relations person, for about 30 minutes, and he said, "Oh, you have the job." But I was fortunate because at that time, I think California was really hiring teachers.
So we definitely, as Mabel and I were talking about her different experiences and the times that she's relied on that passage, even though she didn't realize it was a true passage in the Bible, we came into the idea of God's providence, how God has plans and guides our steps and hits his will for us that plays a part in our lives. So I think the final thing I'd like you to share is just how you then came to Chinese UMC, because you are one of our 56 years members, and I believe in God's providence, and she put her trust in God to guide her to the right church, so I'd like her to share how she came to our church as well.
Thank you. I've always gone to church, and I've always gone to a Methodist church. So when I got the job in Bassett Unified, I lived in West Covina. So my roommate also went to church, but she went to the Baptist church, so I said to her, why don't we go to the West Covina Methodist Church, is just down the street. So we went there a few times. And then I met Jim. I met Jim, right? So then we went to a dance. And we met Gene's sisters, Nancy and Nellie. And I think Stephen was there at the time. And so they said, you know, we go to the Methodist church, why don't you come? And so Jim and I said, okay, we'll try. So ever since then, we've been coming every Sunday. Try to anyway, every Sunday.
Yeah. So we are so thankful for God's providence and that Mabel, even as a young child and as a young adult and as an adult and later in marriage, just put her full trust in God to see her through all these things and even brought her to Chinese UMC. So thank you, Mabel, for your sharing. Let's thank Mabel. Let us pray first. Lord, I ask that you guide my words of this message, that the words speak your truth and will for us, and that we open our hearts and our minds as we hear the words of your scriptures and the reflections on the scripture passage. And Lord, we know that you know the reflections that we are holding in our hearts, and we ask, Lord, that these reflections be acceptable in your sight, for you are our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. Amen. So this passage from Psalm 56, verses 1 to 4 we're looking at, and I do apologize again for not bringing my PowerPoint. I think I'll try to talk to Ray, and maybe later we can put it on the church website. So if you want to see the PowerPoint later, you're welcome to do that. But looking at Psalm 56, we know that it's a situation where David, the author of this psalm, was afraid. And I invite you now to think about a time that you have been afraid, when you were younger or just recently, but just take about a minute to think about a time you yourself have been afraid. Now I also invite you to turn to a neighbor or someone in front or behind you and maybe share that time when you were afraid. Okay, I apologize for cutting the sharing short. Thinking about that time that you were afraid, it could have been a physical situation where you were afraid for your own personal well-being, your body. It could have been something mentally, something was happening and you were worried or you had high anxiety and you were mentally afraid. It also could have been a fear of the unknown, not sure what was going to happen or the situation that you were in. And when we experience fear, we have different options. It's the fight, or the face. You can flight, run away from that fear and not face the situation at all. You can fight, be aggressive and active against what's happening in the fear in your life. Or you can face it just to say, okay, I'm going to face it. I'm going to be in this situation. So we have different options of ways we can react when we are faced with fearful situations. And I want to share with you a recent time where I faced a very fearful situation. 2 weeks ago, Phil was sick, and he had called me while I was at church at work and asked if on the way home I would pick up some medicine for him. And I, okay, said, great. I know there's a CVS on Valley that I can go to. And as I was pulling into the CVS parking lot, I saw a man and a woman in front of the CVS store. The woman had her back up against the wall, and the man had his arms like this, blocking her in because he was facing her. And every time the woman would try to get away from his arms, he would slap her and keep his arms between them so she couldn't go out of his grasp. And as I was pulling into the parking lot, I heard the woman yell, "Let me go, I want to go," or "Give me my stuff back." And he would tell her to shut up, and he would use really bad language. And so I had some options, the flight option. I was still driving. I could have continued out of the parking lot and gone to another store to get Phil's medicine. I had the fight option. I could have stopped my car right then and there and maybe honked the horn or did something. I didn't know what to do. I was paralyzed in a way in my fear, frozen even. That's another reaction you could have to fear. And so as I continued into the parking lot to find a space, and I parked in the next row, and as I was getting out of the car, I said, okay, at least I can call 911 and report that this is happening, because the man was still there blocking the woman against the wall and hitting her every time she tried to move or go away from his arms. I heard another man also in the parking lot by his car calling in the report. He was describing the man and where he was, and I said, okay, this is good. This man's calling 911. I don't need to do anything now. And so I continued into the store, but to get into the store entrance, I had to pass this couple, and you could see closer as I was that the woman had been crying, her face was red, and the man, his arms were really muscly, and you could tell he was very tense as well. And I just said, okay, I have to do something. God is putting me at this CVS in this situation to do something, to face my fear I had, but realizing this woman's fear was probably greater. And so I said to the man, I said, sir, you need to stop what you are doing. People have already called 911. The police are on their way. And when I said that, he put his arms down to look at me. And thankfully, the woman ran inside the store. And I shared this with some Family Fellowship members last night. The man's response to me was, oh, it's okay. She's my wife. I could tell this man was someone who could not be talked to, because in his mind, what he was doing, hitting his wife, preventing her from leaving, and I guess he had taken some of her stuff, was okay in his mind. So I just quickly went inside the store. But it was a fearful situation that I could have fled from, that I could have frozen and not do anything, or I could have faced. And I know all through that time, God was with me. I could feel his presence with me as I was walking into that store. And shaken as I was, because as soon as I got into the store, I it's like when you have adrenaline flowing through you and it gets you through a scary situation, and then afterwards that adrenaline leaves you and you're just drained. And I know I myself was shaking in the store. I was walking around the store for a while, even forgetting what I was there for, until I said, okay, Phil's medicine. I did see that woman talking to the store clerk, and I think she knew the woman, and the woman was just thankfully staying in the store. And when I left, I did not see the man again. It was a very fearful situation. In all our lives, we will face situations that we are fearing, whether it's something, again, physically or mentally, or fear of the unknown. And it's just the same as in this passage from Psalm that was written by David. There is a misconception that the book of Psalm is written by one author, but it's actually written by different authors. David himself, they say, wrote about 76 of the 150 Psalms. Then there are other persons, Asaph, the son of Korah, Solomon, Moses, Ethan, and Heman, who also wrote other Psalms, even some of them, like Moses, writing just one of the Psalms. But it's different people expressing their joy and praise to the Lord, but also calling to the Lord to help them in difficult times. They say the book of Psalms is broken up into five sections, and I do encourage you to read the book of Psalms when you're able, even if you just want to take one section. And it's so easy, I don't know if you ever knew this, but most Bibles that have the headlines or the subtitles, it says, you know, chapter 1 says book 1, chapter 42 says book 2. So they're easy to find within the scripture passages. And each psalm ends with a great doxology or benediction or blessing to God. Psalms 1 ends, the book of Psalm 1 ends with chapter 41, verse 1, saying, "Blessed are those who have regard for the weak. The Lord delivers them in times of trouble." Already there is the mention praising those who are weak because they rely on the Lord who will deliver them in times of trouble. The book 2 of Psalms ends with chapter 72, and there's a verse there in 72 verse 19 that says, "Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen." It's praising God for everything, knowing that the whole world is filled with God's glory. The book 3 of Psalms ends with chapter 89, book 4 of Psalms ends with chapter 106, and book 5 ends with chapter 150. And we see this morning's passage from chapter 56, where it was written by David, and it falls into that second book. The praise be to his glorious name forever, may the whole earth be filled with his glory, amen and amen. And we know in this scripture passage that David, he was afraid. This was David, the man who was meant to be king, the man who had slayed Goliath as a young boy, the man who was in King Saul's army and well-trusted soldier and was rising up in the ranks. But we know David also did human error. He fell into sin. He had killed a person. He had committed adultery. He had wanted to be the king and steal the throne. He had angered King Saul. So in this morning's passage from Psalms, David has fled Saul. He has fled the place where he was a high soldier. He has fled the place where he was known to be the next ruler. Instead, he had been captured because he'd fled by the Philistines. And we know the Philistines are the tie to David because David had slain their giant Goliath many, many years ago. And the Philistines then saw, well, we have this David, the giant slayer, the one who killed our best soldier, and they put him in prison. So David, even in the midst of being persecuted, even in the midst of fearing for his life and knowing that he was in enemies' hands, he was still praying to God. He was still relying on God. Even Psalm 56 starts off not with verse 1, but a title saying, "For the director of music, to the tune of a dove on distant oaks of David, when the Philistines had seized him in Gath." It's already laying out this wonderful situation where there is a music and a psalm, because that's what psalms are. They're like odes or musics. That there's this wonderful time to celebrate, to praise God through music and song. And David was known when he was a young shepherd boy to carry a lyre around with him and play that little harp. So it's very fitting that there's this idea of music and praise in God. And even when the Philistines had seized David and put him in prison in Gath, David is saying these words, "Be merciful to me, my God. My enemies are in hot pursuit. All day long they press their attack." He starts off verse 1 not saying, "Be merciful to me, to the people of the Philistines that have captured him, or to King Saul who was in pursuit of him, or the people that he had wronged." But he was saying, "Be merciful to me, God." He is praying to God and knows that for all his sins, all his human errors, he must seek forgiveness from God. He is being faithful, and he knows it is God he must seek forgiveness for. Even in this times of danger, they say that David, he threw himself into the hands of God, knowing that God would catch him and lift him up and see him out of this horrible situation. We know that David goes on to say in Psalms in verse 2, "My adversaries pursue me all day long. In their pride, many are attacking me." The Philistines had faced this situation. Yes, they had captured David, but they had no true grounds to keep him in prison, to torture him, or to keep him captured, because what he did as a young boy was many years ago, and they had no true grounds. So, but David knew that the Philistines were his adversaries who were trying to trick him into doing wrong, who were trying to find reasons into keeping him captured and maybe eventually execute him. David had faced many adversaries, and he acknowledged to God that these people were attacking him because of their own pride. But David was letting go of his pride and turning to God fully and trusting in God. We in our own lives will have many adversaries we face, but we must know that we are not alone. I love that Mabel shared all these different experiences as a young child going to Sunday school and going alone without her brothers. I guess they weren't being good brothers to her and trusted that her little sister could walk alone to church. Also traveling by bus alone from Arkansas to California over 2 days. That is quite a trip. She shared that her parents, I guess maybe Chinese superstitions, didn't want her to fly on the plane, you know. But trusting in God to see her through that time. And I remember another one of our young adults talked about flying to a different state recently and doing job interview in another state. We always take these leaps of faith, whether it happened many years ago or just happened a year ago. We have these adversaries we face in life, but we must continue to trust in God in what we do. To know that we are not alone, one, that people have similar experiences as us, and to share our experiences with each other, but also to know that we are not alone because God is with us. God's presence is with us through Jesus Christ, His Son, or the Holy Spirit that can enliven us. God is always with us in all the things that we will face. And also we must remember that God knows He will help us through these events, and we are also able to overcome these events. So then we can be like David, and as he said in verse 56, chapter 56, verse 3, "When I am afraid, I trust in You. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me?" He says that in verses 3 to 4, and I apologize, my version is a little bit different than the one on the screen. But David knew fully that even, yes, as he was facing adversaries, even, yes, as he was in prison and could be put to death, he put his trust fully in God and said to God, "Be merciful on me, I, the sinner who has done wrong." And we must learn that, because I tie in the words of David again, "When I am afraid, I will trust in You, in God's whose words I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me?" Or, "I'm not afraid, what can flesh do to me?" in this version on the screen. To remember the last words of Christ on the cross. When Christ was dying on the cross, as His hands were nailed to the cross, as the crown of thorns was on His head, as He was bleeding and taking His last breath, Christ said, "Father, into My hands I command My spirit." Jesus Christ was doing what David had done. David, his ancestor, his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great, I think it's like 21 generations, grandfather. Jesus was remembering possibly the words of his ancestor David, who was not afraid at times of trial and persecution, who put his trust fully in God, and who said, "What can mortal man do to me? What can flesh do to me?" They cannot harm him, because David knew he had God's love. Just as Jesus, when he died on the cross and said, "Father, into My hands I commend My spirit." David did that. Jesus did that. We must do that. When we are in times of fear, of trial, of persecution, or worry, yes, there are people who will speak badly against us. Yes, we will be in situations where we will want to flee and be very afraid. Yes, we will face tough times. But we must put our trust in God, to put ourselves in God's hands and know that He will see us through. Is part of God's providence. God's providence is His plan for us that guides our steps. Whatever situation we are in, pray to God and trust in God fully. Put your trust in Him, because God appoints every single thing in our lives. It might not be what we want to happen. We might not get the job we want. The timing of marriage might not happen when we want to happen, or friends we might lose, but know and trust that it's all part of God's providence and plan for your life. To trust in God as David did, to trust in God as Christ did, and to trust in God ourselves. I close with Psalm 150, and I apologize again. I was hoping to have us read together. But Psalm 150, the last book of Psalm and the end of a set of book 5, talks again about praising and blessing God. And it says, "Praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him for His mighty deeds, praise Him for His mighty firmament, Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lyre and harp. Praise him with tremble and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.